When it comes to lobbying and transparency, Alaska gets a C grade.
It means that some basics are available, but that it's not extremely citizen-friendly.
Gordon Witkin works for the Center for Public Integrity, and his organization has produced corruption report cards for every state in the country. One thing they examined was just how out in the open lobbying was. As far as disclosure laws are concerned, Alaska actually does better than most states. Lobbyists are required to register and file monthly reports. The companies that hire them also have to check in with the Alaska Public Offices Commission, or APOC, every quarter. But if the state were only graded on how well it gets that information out to the public, it would be failing.
In practice, lobbying disclosure documents are accessible to the public online in a meaningful and accessible manner. We gave Alaska a 50 out of 100 on that. Perhaps on that last question, Alaska should have gotten even a lower score.
I would use more colorful words than meaningful and accessible to describe my own experience trying to get the information. I had a couple of simple questions in mind. How much money was spent lobbying this session, and who spent the most? Getting the answers took multiple phone calls, multiple emails, and 2 office visits. When it comes to campaign finance, APOC posts every report filed. That's not the case with lobbying. Not a single report is online or even accessible from APOC's public computers. A staff member has to go in, format everything you want, and then print it out or email it to you. That's a huge effort when you're trying to make sense of hundreds of reports. Paul Dauphiné is APOC's executive director, and he actually agrees with the Center for Public Integrity's assessment. He says part of the problem is their system hasn't had a facelift since it was introduced, and that a lot of its value has been as a guinea pig for their other electronic reporting systems.
That was the first electronic system APOC had. So it meant much of what we learned from that system went into the candidate system.
On top of the infrastructure problem, there are also policy reasons there isn't much lobbying data out there. Statute instructs APOC to produce an annual summary of how much companies are spending, so they don't do anything more than that. Also, any reports APOC does release, they're in PDF format to keep people from altering the data. Kathy Keeley works for the Sunlight Foundation, a DC-based good government outfit, and she explains why that's a problem.
That's the worst kind of a thing because it's, you know, it's effectively a picture of data, not data. And it means that you have to go through, torturous methods to try to get that, those numbers, names and numbers, all that information into a form where you can work with it. And so it's kind of like a non-disclosure disclosure.
So what would an ideal system for putting out this information look like? Keeley says the state should not only make its data available online,
but available in a format that allows people to mash it up with other data sets. In other words, to connect the dots in ways that make patterns of influence transparent to voters.
Dauphiné says APOC is now looking at just how to do that and that they're at the earliest stages of a revamp.
We, people at APOC, work with this stuff every day, and we have our own shorthand, and we think about it one way, but that is not even close to the way the general public's going to think about it, and we have to get outside of our own head. Oh, it's easy. We just go to lobbyist or employer, and we do this and we do that, but you don't do it every day.
And Dauphiné stresses that he really would like for citizens to be able to regularly check out all the information APOC collects.
After all, it is the public's data, and we do want them to use it.
It's just a question of how long it'll take. In Juneau, I'm Alexandra Gutierrez.